Staff Zone and 8-Man Strong present the Players Show, broadcasting live every Monday night from the Press Box Sports Emporium for the 16th consecutive year. Randy and his special guest will review, preview, and just talk the talk for the next hour. So let's get the party started and send it out to the Press Box. Let's get it started.
We are live at the Press Box Sports Emporium. How's everybody doing? The Monday Night Players Show. I don't know. Do I want to say going way back? Going back, back, back? Do I do the Chris Berman? The way, way. Jerry Wunsch in the house, everybody. Let's tell Jerry.
Thank you. Last time we did this was 2002.
Right before
I left for Seattle.
Do you remember that far back?
That's about all I remember.
Do you?
Yeah.
We had Styles here last week, and I asked him the same kind of question. Is it like a lifetime ago? I mean, we're talking 16 years since you were here in Tampa.
Yeah.
So, and then you played, four years in Seattle?
Yeah, I got four in Seattle.
All right.
The year we went to the Super Bowl, I blew up my ankle. I had to get it reconstructed. We played Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl.
That was in Detroit?
It was at Detroit, yeah. The worst place to hold a Super Bowl.
Did you get a ring?
No, I didn't. Well, I got a
yeah, the championship ring.
Yeah, yeah, but right. It's a runner-up.
Right.
Your first-place loser.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say it to you. You know, you're too large of a man for me to call it the loser's ring.
Yeah, it is. First-place loser. Don't wear it.
Do you still have it? Do you?
Yeah.
Do you wear it at all?
Nope. I'm a first-place loser if I wear it.
Well, but see, from far away, it's I'm sure it's still huge.
It probably looks great, but no, this is the way I am. I collect stuff and throw it in the closet. So all my trophies, all my stuff, that's where it is.
All your helmets, all your...
Actually, those are in my garage.
I think I have one of your helmets.
You do?
You know, back from the day.
Yes, you do.
I believe I do. Well, I believe Sean does. My son does. I believe that was
I gave it to Sean for the bar mitzvah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't give it to you, but you may now own it.
No, I don't. I have Jorge's. I have Jorge Diaz and my son as yours.
Yeah.
So... a lot of things that we're going to talk about over the next hour, and I don't want to start it in a negative thing, but, you know, I know what you're going through, and we're going to touch base on that.
Yeah.
But my question is, if you would have known then, 16, you played 9 years, so 25 years ago, would you have still gone the direction you did? Would you have still played in the NFL?
Having to go through what I went through, no. Under the new rules and regulations and what's going on now today, yes. So if I had to go back through the 3-a-days, hitting 3 times a day, you know, hitting 25 times in 3 weeks, no. My body's absolutely destroyed. My brain's destroyed. I mean, that would be a totally different thing. But under today's stuff, where they only had 25 days out of an entire year, that's a whole different ballgame. So I probably would not feel like I feel now. Another big thing that I've been pushing for that the NFLPA has now picked up in their lawsuit against the NFL is the drug abuse stuff, the opioids and the NSAIDs and things like that. So I'm fighting to make sure that the kids that I'm coaching now, which some of them are now playing in the NFL, don't get treated like I did, and make sure that they have a better afterlife after football.
Now, obviously, you knew while you were going through this how bad it was. Was there obviously nothing you could do about it? You just had to, that was your job, and deal with it?
Well, there's a couple times where I told them I could not play, and I was told, what are we going to do to get Mr. Wunsch to play today? And an hour before a game, there's really not much you can do at that point in time. So they gave me 1,500 milligrams of Vicodin, a T3, a Toradol, and some Indocin, and played a football game with that. So not the best way to play a professional football game. But, you know, if you don't do what they ask of you at that point, what people don't understand is all NFL football players are on a weekly basis salary, and you can be fired for any reason at any time And that is just by not listening to a coach. It's called conduct unbecoming. And anything can be put under conduct unbecoming. So you could be fired at any reason, for any reason, at any time, if you don't, if they don't like your answers, if you're late for meetings, whatever. So at that point in time, if you're making that decision, you are now potentially signing your blackball papers to never play in the NFL again.
Now, were you aware of that back then? I know you are now. You know, you walk in that rookie year, and we're going to talk about some stories that I've heard that happened, and we'll find out if this really did happen in a minute. But were you aware of all that, that if you say anything, you could be gone next week?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was, yeah, no, it was basically, you know, you reported your injuries, but you'd never argued with what they said was going to happen. Because if you did, I mean, there were certain players I watched guys walk in and want a second opinion, come back with a different second opinion that the doctors didn't like and the coaching staff didn't like, and the kid was fired in 2 weeks. So, you know, you kind of have that hanging out there that you know that that's a possibility. Even now, the players are very careful. They're a little bit more confident in what they're saying, but it's usually the big money guys who have nothing to lose that are speaking on behalf of the minority or the majority, which is the minority of the players. The guys that really end up getting taken advantage of are the non-superstar guys. So right. Those are the ones that they just ride, and then, you know, it's kind of like a racehorse. As soon as you're done, just let them out the pasture and wait till they fall over and die. I mean, really, it's the key card doesn't work anymore. They don't – it's over, and that's it.
You're not welcome back. All right, so here's a story that I don't know if I've embellished over the years or not.
Okay.
So I think I remember it properly. It does involve you. It was your rookie year, and okay. We won't say names. We will protect the guilty.
Okay.
And if I remember this story correctly, there was some rookie hazing going on.
Yes.
Which was allowed back in the day.
Yes.
And I'm okay with hazing. I was in the military. As long as you don't do like the Saints where they swing the socks with money and, you know, hurt and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the story that I vaguely remember in my very old small brain is somebody was doing some things to you. Your rookie year, early in that.
You're talking about the Warren Sapp situation.
Oh, I wasn't going to say his name. I'm trying to protect the guilty, but now that Yes. You've said his name. And
I know you were setting me up for that.
Well, but not to say his name. I wasn't going to say his name.
Well, Sapp knows this went on, so I have no problem saying it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, so my rookie year, Sapp decides he wants to screw around with me, and every time he walked past my locker, he'd slap me on the back of my neck really hard. So, well, he had a locker over by the...
Wasn't far.
Wasn't far, but it was over by the bathrooms. So I could walk past him, pretend I was going to the bathroom, and I would walk back and politely slap him on the back of the neck according to what he slapped me with. This went back and forth for quite a long time until one time he got me pretty good and eyes started welling up, and I'm like, all right. So I can't remember what game it was, but it was a really big game. And I knew everybody was going to be coming over to talk to Mr. Sapp. In fact, you know what? It had to be Green Bay because everybody was in front of Sapp's locker and everybody can't wait for that sound bit from Sapp about Favre. So right before we break lunch, the media starts showing up and gathering around Sapp. And so I proceed to go to the bathroom and walk back, and instead of giving the slap hand, I kind of gave him a little chop along with my slap by accident. And he got a started crying and looked up at me like, oh, this is on. So I proceed to go to my locker, waiting for the media to leave the locker room and think we're about ready to throw down and go at it in the middle of the locker room. So I'm sitting in my locker waiting for Sapp to start the fight. And sitting there, and he walks right past me, which is where the equipment room is. And
this is old one, Buck, obviously, 16, yeah. 18, 19, 24 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and I can't see him walk out of this room. So he's literally going to jump me from my back, right? So I'm sitting there waiting, and he walks up and doesn't even touch me and looks at me and goes, "This game's really starting to hurt. How about we get rid of it?" And at that point was the first time that I had earned Sapp's respect, and that's what he was waiting for.
Right.
That's how Sapp worked in the locker room, which I'm sure you guys have heard many stories about Mr. Warren and him pushing buttons.
That's till you push back.
Yeah, and it's one time guns actually were talked about. So somebody was going to their car to go get a gun. But he would push you to that point to try and push you to do your best and to stand up and never back down to anything. That was Warren's way of handling the locker room.
Now, was he involved in the water cooler thing?
Which water cooler event are we talking about?
Somebody, I believe it was put above your locker, and at the last minute, cooler minds came to get it because they were afraid that the whole cooler would come down and knock you out?
Well, if that was the case, no one ever told me that okay. was happening.
Okay.
So that...
I remember that one.
That, no, I didn't know about it.
Okay.
Either that one, no.
Slid by. And then after that incident, you and Warren were always okay.
We're great.
Even to the point, and I'm sure you remember this, we were talking about doing a Circle of Friends cruise to Alaska.
Yes.
And Warren was going to go.
Yes.
And we all know that Warren picks and chooses and does whatever, so.
Well, Warren picks and chooses every time I see him. So sometimes it, like.
Well, it's not just you.
Right, it's everybody. So at the Glazers inauguration into the Ring of Honor, you know, he was in a great mood. Everything was great. I mean, there's times where you see him where he'll walk right past you and act like he doesn't even know you, and then he'll call you up 2 weeks later and ask you to come to an event or something. It's just Warren's Warren. He's very unique, and he just kind of beats to his own drum. But if you need somebody to have your back and things are tough and really bad, Warren will be there.
Always. I don't know if I've told this story before, and I don't even know if you're aware of this. When my son was 11, he got hit in the eye with a rock up in New England. And when he came out of surgery, blah, 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 some things happened. Warren answered the phone. Sean wanted to talk to Warren about whatever. And, you know, Warren got him through the surgery, got him through the rehab. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff about Warren Sapp.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Nobody likes to talk about it.
Well, he won't tell anybody about
right.
it. Because he's got his little thing that he does, right? That's
he likes that.
He likes that. He likes being Warren.
Yep. That would be called Oakland Raiders.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, well, he was Oakland Raiders before.
Well, because he was a Miami Hurricane.
Right.
So he fits that perfectly. All right, let's go hit our first break of the evening, coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium, hanging out with former Buck, former Seahawk, Jerry Watch. We'll be right back. Hit the roof for a vibe, just let it burn. Come on. Put my junk in the company in the club. It's on. Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in to the Country Depot in Brooksville, Florida, or go online to countrydepotstore.com to get your purses, t-shirts, Western and Southern home decor, antique gifts, small and large, and much, much more. Plus, a large memorabilia area, including Buccaneers and Rays items. That's Country Depot, Brooksville, Florida, or countrydepotstore.com. Epic Body Work and Massage is the premier massage therapy clinic in Tampa Bay, empowering people to take control over their bodies through skilled body work and sharing of an education that inspires movement. Epic Body Work and Massage guides you through a journey of new awareness as they unravel the twisting years of tension that your body has endured, providing joy as what was once limited movement now comes alive as your body experiences increased range and movement. Visit their website at www.epicbody.work. Schedule an appointment by calling their office at 813-898-0601 and follow them on social media at Epic Body Work.
Craig Culver of Culver's.
Before farm to table, before field to fork, there was just good, wholesome food grown by America's farm families, prepared fresh at Culver's, and always served with a smile. We still cook every Butterburger to order using fresh 100% Midwest beef and craft our frozen custard right in the restaurant using Family Farm Fresh Dairy. So thank you, farmers. Welcome to Delicious.
Direct from Broadway comes the one musical with the best songs, the best moves, and the best time you can have in the theater. On Your Feet, the Emilio and Gloria Estefan musical. Surrender to the beat, because the rhythm's gonna get you.
At the Strass Center, October 24th to the 29th. Tickets at strasscenter.org.
The PressBox Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the PressBox also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years, the PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris, so stay right there.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the PressBox Sports Emporium, the Monday Night Players Show, hanging out with former Buck, former Seahawk, Jerry Wunsch. You know, I don't remember many stories. I don't remember many things that might.
Yes, you do. You remember everything.
I really don't.
You are so full of – can I say that word?
No. But there are certain stories that I do remember, and one of the ones that I will remember until 2 days after I'm dead, it was, I believe, a Friday. We were in Wausau, Wisconsin. Never been to Wisconsin before.
Uh-huh.
Did I say that right? Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Okay. Well, first, I remember the hotel that I was staying at didn't have Coke. It had Pepsi. So I walked, if anybody knows anything about me, I walked and got some Diet Cokes, and I put it on the windowsill so that it would stay cold.
And they froze.
And that's how cold it was in Wausau, Wisconsin. So we went to dinner, I believe it was on a Friday night, and the server overheard our discussion at dinner, and it went something like this. Do you know what time the wedding is tomorrow? No, I don't. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? The server walked by and said, oh, you mean Jerry Wunsch's? It's at 10 a.m. or whatever time it was.
And she wasn't even invited.
No, she wasn't, but she knew about the wedding.
Welcome to my hometown.
Wausau, Wisconsin. It was fun.
Yeah,
family.
A couple hundred thousand people in the town.
Do you go back?
All the time.
Do you?
Yeah, my dad had two strokes in the last year, so I had to, but he's doing great now. Had to head back to go see them, and then I took my kids up there this summer because they want to see the grandma and grandpa. So we get up there quite a bit, but you know, it's still, even though it's a couple hundred thousand people in the surrounding area, it's still small backwoods town.
So what was it like, if you can remember that far back, coming? I know you played at Wisconsin, then you came here, you came to Tampa. What was it like coming to a much bigger city?
Oh, it was complete culture shock. I mean, my favorite story is the first Bucks game I go to. We got parking passes. And we park our car, and we got to walk into the Big Sombrero. And I'm walking in, and I'm looking at the cars. I'm like, this place is so safe. This is awesome. Everybody's leaving their tickets right on the windshield. This has got to be the safest town in America. Right? I'm like, I can't believe this. People just leave tickets for their friends right on their windows. So I walk in and I'm talking to Allstud. I'm like, this place is awesome. No crime, no one steals nothing. You leave your tickets on the. He goes, no, Jerry, people don't want their tickets. They're leaving them in case somebody wants them. I'm like, are you kidding me? They're like, no, that's what's going on around here. And then all of a sudden we beat the San Francisco 49ers, and then there was no more tickets laying around.
Tickets.
In fact, 32,000 people waiting list.
Yeah, now wanting to get them. Obviously, you do remember, but it's so different now, and I'm sure it was different in Seattle where parking was in a gated area. And back in the day, you parked next to fans.
With the fans. Like, I would literally pull up. Guy would be doing his brats and everything, and we'd pull up right next to him, and he'd ask if we'd want a brat or good luck today or whatever, and then we'd just walk in and park right next to the fans.
In a way, that's kind of cool.
Well, my best story is, so we're playing Green Bay at Green Bay. Me, Randall McDaniel, and Jeff Christie, we're playing at Lambeau. And we always used to take a cab 2 hours before the buses would leave to go over. It's winter. The cab breaks down 3 blocks from Lambeau Field. So we walk to Lambeau, and the whole way there, the nice fans of Wisconsin were offering us beer and brats the whole way in because they wanted us to be full of beer and brats, of course, to play the game.
Right.
But at least they were caring enough to make sure we didn't fall over and die. But
did you eat the brats?
No. No. Only after the game would I go out in the parking lot and eat the brats.
In case it was bad brats.
Well, it's not good to eat a brat and then go play 4 quarters of the football
game. No, I wouldn't know. I would eat the brat, personally.
As much as I love brats.
Right.
And I grew up on them, which probably made me this big.
I wouldn't say you're big.
I'm bigger than your average bear.
Well, that's true. I was.
But I absolutely loved that place. I mean, as soon as you'd walk out after the game, people would be stuffing brats in your hands, handing you beer, giving you a six-pack for the flight. I mean, it was crazy.
I'm going this year. It'll be my first time. I went when we went up for your wedding. We got to walk around. We walked into the Hall of Fame kind of stuff. But this will be the first game that I've ever seen in Lambeau.
Awesome.
So
you're going to be amazed at how much it's changed since then. They've totally redone that place. It's absolutely amazing. I took some of our pediatric cancer patients there this summer and got to tour it. And it is quite a spectacle.
Let's change gears for a second. Let's talk a little bit about what you do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I know back in the day, there was Circle of Friends, which we did for cancer patients. And then the Wunsch Family Foundation probably took over Circle of Friends.
Well, Circle of Friends is still around and still going. Because of my issues and health issues and lack of brain capacity anymore, I've had to hand that off. So I'm now the guy that shows up and shakes hands and kisses babies.
When you left Tampa, you got another Circle of Friends was running in Seattle, correct?
Yeah, so Seattle, we actually had 20 different cities at one time, from kids all over, with players from all over the NFL. Our last trip we did was this summer. Of course, I'm no longer running it, but I still partake in it. And then a group of my other NFL buddies put together We Believe in Me, which is a foundation to help underprivileged kids get to college. We help them with free tutoring, ACT, SAT prep, football, film work, all that stuff. So it's another way of helping kids and promoting football in a healthy, good way for kids to be successful, get to college, get a free scholarship. And for many poor kids, it's one of their only chances of getting out.
It's getting that chance.
Right. It's getting and keeping that chance to allow these kids to have that success.
Because I jumped on your website. I saw some of the schools, some of the athletes, the high school kids that have gotten some scholarships. How do you choose? How do they choose you?
We don't choose anything. So everything we've done with this, we originally started with 3 kids 3 years ago, and now we have over 500 kids. We haven't advertised. We haven't done anything. It's been complete word of mouth. Of course, me and Brenda can't handle this all ourselves, so we have a lot of other people helping. But, you know, we've got, in 3 years, we've put every kid that's gone through our program into college.
Really?
Yes.
And how many locations throughout the country?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even begin to add them all up. I mean, so, and it's growing every year. We have kids from Seattle, Washington to New York. I mean, we actually have colleges call us to try and help kids. So
really?
That's the kind of where we're at now, yeah. So we're very well trusted within the community as far as the college community. We believe every kid deserves a chance. A lot of kids don't have parents who have had the educational background to even be able to help their kids. And those kids should not be left at a disadvantage. So what we do is help those kids, get them the tutoring, get them free tutoring, get them everything they possibly could need so that that's not on the parents. It's on them to do it and to go take control of their own destiny. And we've also, we had one mom and a kid who were living out of a car, and we got them both free tutoring, free mentoring, and all that. She just got her master's now, bought her first condo, and her son got a full ride to a D1 school, and he's doing extremely well and going to be starting as a freshman this year.
How can people get involved? How can they help out? I know the website there. Whoever it was, I agree.
WeBelieveInMe.org. Yes.
No, that's the website.
Yes.
How can people get involved if you're not advertising? How do they find out about
it? Well, go to contact us, especially for the athletes who want to be involved. Also, anybody who wants to donate money or partake in it, go to WeBelieveInMe.org. Hit the contact us, what you're interested in. People way smarter than me will take over. I'm in charge of the football and telling the kids reality.
Is that a good thing? You know, to the reality meaning you know what it's like, what this life is.
Right. And these kids think they have it figured out. They don't understand what it takes to get to that level. I'm even talking a D3 school. It takes a lot of commitment, a lot of heart, and a lot of determination to get there. And any little thing can screw you up and throw you off this thing. I mean, I even had a kid that was with me in Miami for a scouting combine for D3 schools that ended up getting arrested while he was supposedly with me, which he was with me, and ended up getting a $430,000 bond, okay? I end up having a fight for this kid. It takes us 30 days to get this kid out of jail, who's done absolutely nothing wrong at this point, was physically with me, documented with film in Miami. Okay? That little hiccup cost that kid a scholarship because he couldn't get the school to get the grades to go to the scholarship in which he had.
Wow.
Okay? So when I say any little screw up could screw this up, it might not even be your own fault. That's why you have to stay ahead of the game. So if you're playing with borderline grades and you're playing with borderline stuff, borderline bull will happen.
Right. It'll find you.
Eventually it will sneak up and bite you in the butt.
So how do you and the other mentors get through to these youngsters who, and we all know, we've all been there, you know, think they know everything. How do you get through to them that they don't? And that this is the right way and that's the wrong way.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we struggle with it. It's not every kid's different. So certain kids need to be yelled at. Some kids need to have their arm put around. Some kids you just got to coax and basically bribe into doing things, right? So, you know, every kid has a different button, and you got to find those buttons and what is important to them. And then once you find out what's important to them or what pisses them off, then you can work with it to help give them focus. Because young men, as we know, that don't have focus wander very quickly.
Right, right.
And we have to keep them focused.
Do you see expanding WeBelieveInMe.org to more than football? You know, other sports?
Yeah, we've actually talked to basketball. We've actually had one kid. We got a full ride to Kutztown for rugby. We've gotten some kids basketball rides. Once you know the formula and how college football works, it's the same for all sports.
All sports.
So it's really what it comes down to is our ability and bandwidth to be able to help. So the more money we can raise – the more people. By the way, every player, ex-player that's part of this foundation works for absolute free. I and Brenda have never taken a dime. Everything is about the kids and for the kids. So every dollar that goes
in. That's important to know.
Goes right back in. We've been blessed. The Lord has blessed us. And we're trying to pay it forward. What people don't understand is what's Brenda's drive. She had an offer to go to Juilliard for dance. And she ended up.
Brenda's your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's just so everybody knows.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
This is more than just you and I talking.
Yes. So so one of her friends ended up, hot day in Florida, ends up, she's on the hood of the car, putting the car in drive, going 45 miles down the road. Brenda ends up in a coma. Luckily, the bumper smashed her head open so she could bleed out and not leave the pressure in her brain, which saved her life. She had a scholarship taken from her. And her goal and drive is to make sure that no kid ends up in that situation as long as she can help it. Because her dreams of dance, I mean, this girl at the age of 14 was dancing with Gregory Hines.
Wow.
Okay, so she was good. And all because a friend and a dumb decision and all that, it ruined what her dreams were. And so what her passion and why she does it is because she doesn't want one of those kids to have to go through what she went through.
To miss out.
And for myself, it's I've been through it. I've made the mistakes. Why shouldn't you learn from my mistakes and all my other brothers' mistakes?
Right, right.
I've seen it all. I mean, we've dealt with Warren. We've dealt with Chidi. We've dealt with all these other college kids and coaches. And, I mean, a lot of times I tell the kids, you got to read through what the coaches are telling you. Okay? Because when they say this, they might be really saying that.
Right.
And you have to listen. I need you to write down every word that they say. Because when they do that, I can tell you what they're really telling you.
What it means.
Yeah. Right. Because what they're telling you to your face is probably not, you're probably hearing what you want to hear.
Right.
Not what they're really telling you.
Because they can't really tell you what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Chris Forrester, who's in the news today.
I don't know if anybody knows about this guy.
But Chris told me when he was coaching here with the Buccaneers.
He's a former coach in the NFL.
Yeah, now as of today.
As of today.
He told me, he goes, you know, Odom's our guy. He goes, you're playing better than Odom, but Odom's our guy. He goes, one day you'll appreciate that. Well, I didn't understand what that meant and what was going on, but being a guy that's been through it, now I understand what he was saying and what was going on.
Right.
But
right.
At that time, I was mad at the world.
Sure.
And so once you've been through it and see the mechanics of what goes on and how it goes, can you truly help kids? What I found is today's world, these kids want to run to wherever I'm going to get the attention, right? And a lot of times that's not the best thing to do. You got to go where you find your family, where you feel at peace, where you feel
at home.
A logo means nothing. It's the people behind the logo that make that logo worth anything. And coaches come and go. You have to know what the school stands for. You have to understand what the coaches stand for. And then that's how you can make your decision. So many kids screw up thinking, I got to go D1. For most kids, going D1 is the worst mistake you could possibly make. You are going to lose a year. You'll probably never see the field. And you'll be much happier going to a lower D1 or a D2 or a D3. And by the way, you will be found there just as easily as you will be found D1. So, I mean, when you look at the stats and the numbers of how many kids play major D1 football and get a cup of coffee in the NFL, it's less than 0.5%.
Right.
So, but you look at the number of kids in D2 and D3 that make it, I don't know that percentage is much different because it's the kids that are getting that chance. Right. There's less kids getting the chance, but more of those kids are making it.
Right, right. Well, and people don't realize the average, I hate to use the word lifespan, of an NFL player is what, right around 3 years, right?
Yes, 3 years. I mean, the average guy, and 95% of guys end their career due to injury.
Right.
I mean, that's why I was done in year 9. I mean, I had to deal with Holmgren. As long as I stayed healthy, I had a job. And my running back went the wrong way on a blitz, and that was over. So, and that's why
it's not funny, but
it is what it is. Right. I mean, and we talk to the kids and tell them you always got to have a backup plan. You, this is not your life. It's not for long. NFL for
that's what
a
it
reason,
stands for, right?
I mean, the only people that are going to stick around are the owners. Everybody else is, right. can come and go and be gone in a heartbeat. Okay. Now, one thing I got to say about Malcolm Glazier is a great man. Malcolm Glazier would sit in his next to me in my locker and talk to me. He treated me like he would treat anybody off the street. Right. I mean, that was Malcolm Glazier. Right. He was the most amazing man.
He loved the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Loved them. And loved the Tampa Bay community.
Right.
And that's why when they tried to get him to leave Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was like, no, we're staying right here and we're going to make this work. And let me tell you something. That man, he could have afford the most finest art in the world. And he found out that my mom worked for Wassa Insurance. And he loved the calendars of Wassa Insurance and the paintings. So he sat with me and we talked. And somehow Wassa Insurance just comes up and talks to me. And I'm like, that's no issue. My mom runs the department. We can send you some catalogs. He got on the phone and talked to my mom. We're sitting there before a game. He's talking to my mom about, hey, you know, this is awesome. I love the calendars and blah, blah, blah.
About the calendars.
Right. You thought he got a Picasso when it got sent to him. I mean, he was just ecstatic, over the moon. This guy could afford a couple million dollar painting if he wanted one. And he took everything he received as the greatest gift he's ever gotten. And you're talking one of the richest men in the country.
Right.
And he truly cared. About his players. He would sit with you. He would ask how your family's doing. How's your mom? How's your dad? You know, how are the kids if you had any? He knew everything about every player, and he loved his employees, even anybody.
Which Brian said when they announced that he was going into the Ring of Honor, how he knew everybody there. He knew everybody's name. But he treated, like you said, it wasn't just the players. It wasn't just the staff, but the fans as well.
Everybody.
If he saw a fan, he would talk
he
to him and
stop and shake their hand. And he had the softest handshake in the history of the world. But, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I must have hurt that man's hand. But he always did it. And he looked you dead straight in the eye. And you know, you'd always be conscious because he wouldn't grab or, you know.
Right.
He didn't have a lot behind it. But you knew he meant it. You know, and just one of the most amazing men I've ever been around. In fact, you know, I've always been scared to write a letter to the Glazers. I'm scared they won't get it. But Jill Hobbs this last time asked me to write my story down and send it to the Glazers. And I'm definitely going to do that with help from Brenda. Because me putting words together doesn't work as well anymore. doesn't really work very well anymore. But, you know, because Malcolm meant that much to me and influenced my career tremendously. So Malcolm got things rolling here, and it's been absolutely amazing because of him. And hopefully we're getting that momentum back again.
And well-deserved going to the Ring of Honor and being there Thursday. And
I told Jill Hobbs, I said, if I was on my deathbed and had to be wheeled out there, I wasn't going to miss that.
You're going to be there. Yeah. All right, let's go hit another break. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. It is the Player Show, hanging out with Jerry Wunsch.
Body Work and Massage is the premier massage therapy clinic in Tampa Bay, empowering people to take control over their bodies through skilled body work and sharing of an education that inspires movement. Epic Body Work and Massage guides you through a journey of new awareness as they unravel the twisting years of tension that your body has endured, providing joy as what was once limited movement now comes alive as your body experiences increased range and movement. Visit their website at www.epicbody.work. Schedule an appointment by calling their office at 813-898-0601 and follow them on social media at Epic Body Work. Come on in to the Country Depot in Brooksville, Florida, or go online to countrydepotstore.com to get your purses, t-shirts, Western and Southern home decor, antique gifts, small and large, and much, much more. Plus, a large memorabilia area, including Buccaneers and Rays items. That's Country Depot, Brooksville, Florida, or countrydepotstore.com.
At Tour de Pizza, we pride ourselves on making delicious, healthy food at an affordable price. Signature pizzas, fresh salads, hearty subs, and calzones. Tour de Pizza has it all and offers dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service. Tour de Pizza is located on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. So give them a call today, 727-895-5555. 727-895-5555. You'll be glad you did.
It's a Culver's tradition. Fresh frozen custard made daily, right in the restaurant, combined with real pumpkin.
Craig Culver on pumpkin season at Culver's.
Our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer is drizzled in salted caramel and simply amazing.
Whoa.
If you love pumpkin pie, you'll love Culver's pumpkin spice shake.
Nice.
And new this year, Culver's pumpkin gingerbread concrete mixer.
You better hurry, pumpkin lovers. These creations will be gone before you know it.
Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is Jimmy Kimmel from blank. Am I supposed to say from blank? No. And you're talking sports. Your is supposed to be spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E with an illiterate man, Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium, hanging out here till the top of the hour. After the next break, we're going to pull some tickets. Let me rephrase that. Jerry is going to pull some tickets. That way, if you have an issue, bring it up to him, not to me. And we're going to give away the Gerald McCoy Mini. All right, we have the tickets here. We're going to give away a couple other items. You know, I did forget this, though. I do have a original grain watch for you. Now, most of the guys or girls, most of the people that get this watch, there's a little apparatus to take links out. So I'm going to ask all of those people for those links
so
that we can add them. So we can add more links. So I will get you more links so that you can wear that. All right, some questions from the audience.
Yes.
Do you miss playing football?
I miss the camaraderie of the locker room and the competitiveness. Of being able to go out there and compete in front of 75 or 100,000 people and a couple million on TV. That was awesome. I've got to go walk through White Houses because of it. I sat in Bill Clinton's chair where Monica.
Okay.
So did
you get any of the Royal Mints?
No, I left those alone. They were on the desk. I figured they probably wouldn't be very good.
You know about the Royal Mints, right?
No.
This is a true story. So a friend of mine was Secret Service.
Yes.
And my wife and I went, you know, through the White House as well. And and Rich Franklin, who used to fight for the UFC, they texted me and they said, make sure you ask for some of the Royal Mints. Now, if you know anything about Rich Franklin and George Gugel, you don't listen to anything that they say.
That would make sense.
Because they're setting you up for something bad. So when I went up and I met this particular Secret Service guy, matter of fact, he's the guy that had the dog attack my arm, which is something I've never done since and I'll never do again, but it was interesting. The Royal Mints are the M&Ms with the White House logo on it.
Oh, is that what?
That's what they call the Royal. Right. Well, it's kind of like their lingo, and you can't get those. You can't buy them. You can't.
No, they're only there.
At the Oval Office.
Well, the person that invited me was the head confectionery for the White House and had been for seven presidents. So we got to go down in the bowels of, by the way, Mr. Bush likes Jack Daniels like you would not believe. That thing is stacked. But anyway, so we would go back in the...
If somebody's knocking on your door later tonight, don't answer.
He won't care anymore. It's so long. Now, if he was a president, yeah, he would have probably been mad. But now, I mean, bygones be bygones.
How many times did you go through it?
Please.
Yes.
We did one big tour. The big one was the one with her because she had all the access. We got to go everywhere we were not supposed to go. So that was by far. I mean, she's like, Jerry, please keep up with me. So I tested it. As soon as she left the room, I don't know where this Secret Service guy popped out of, but he was tapping me on the shoulder like, sir, you need to keep up with your group. There wasn't a door back there. There was nothing. I'm like, I don't know where you popped out of. Yep.
When we were walking through this, I'm not saying his name on purpose, but he said, if you look right there, there's stairs. You go five stairs up, you go five stairs up the other way, President Barack Obama is at the desk right now. And I said, how many? He said, one. I didn't even get the whole sentence out. How many steps do I get before I'm taken down? One.
One. Yep.
And they're everywhere.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're in places that you don't even...
Yep.
Like, there's a wall there, and then all of a sudden you turn around and someone came out of that wall yep. somewhere.
He took us to the Secret Service building in D.C., and we're watching this video, and it's a protest to kill the president. And there's three guys, well, there's a bunch of guys, but they circle these three guys that are holding signs that say, kill the president. Those three are undercover Secret Service that are involved there. You never, ever know.
Right.
You never know. And it's not the, you know, when President Bush came to One Butt, it's not the ones you see. It's security that you don't see.
It's the ones you don't see.
Yep. I won't bore you because my wife's here with my favorite story that he tells, but it's basically the same thing. This particular guy is standing behind somebody who's making some stupid statements, and he's there the whole time.
Right.
Because you never know.
All right. You never do know. And anytime I've ever met the president, there's numerous people around. A couple times at One Buck, Clinton, Bush.
Yep.
We had a whole bunch of them stop by. I mean, every presidential race, it's automatic that they're going to stop by an NFL.
Did they stop? Anybody stop in Seattle?
Yeah, we had one stop in the 4 years I was out there. Yes.
What's that like?
What's what like?
Well, I guess I can say his name since I just saw him the other day, Greg Spires. When President Bush came, there were some people that they shook his hand. There were some people that were intimidated because it was the president.
Well, there's some people that are so mad at him they don't want to touch him either. So
Greg Spires got 10 footballs signed.
I don't blame him.
And wanted to sell them as soon as it was done.
I had one player spit in his hand and shake the president's hand. So, I mean, you get them from all over
both
the place.
Sides.
Yeah, you get them from all over the place.
Then there's the famous picture of President Bush with Michael Pittman, you know, with him looking at his guns and all that
right.
kind of stuff. And they sent it up to him. He signed it and sent it back to him. It's the president.
Right. So. Well, I mean, the presidents are very relaxed going people. It's the people around
right.
them.
Right.
so,
but isn't that the case with anybody?
Yes.
You know, it's not the celebrity. It's the celebrity's handlers entourage or whatever.
It always is. And of course, all the presidents have that to the nth degree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Some more questions. Not sure what one has to do with the other, but with Halloween coming up, what are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? That's a good question. I guess my biggest thing is to not be a good father to my kids. That is my biggest fear. That's what would be my greatest thing is failing my kids.
Failing your kids.
And that, if I did that, that would be my biggest fear of my life.
Back in the day, going back 16 years, in the last time you played, rituals, did you have them? Do you have rituals now that you're out of the game?
Yeah, well, I'm still coaching my kids in high school, so yes, I do have a ritual. I stay by it. I used to go to the football field 2 hours before buses would leave. I would be the first person literally in the locker room. And I would start with my taping from one side to another. I had a whole sequence. I had everything I had to do. down to how I put my gloves on, everything. And then if it didn't work, I'd switch it up the next week until I got in a rhythm. There was a point, I will tell you this, you want to hear about rituals. When I was in Seattle, we went on the longest home winning streak in the history of the NFL. We drove the wrong way the first day. We listened to Tiny Dancer on the way there. For the next 20 home games, we drove the wrong way listening to Tiny Dancer, and the security guards, every time we'd pull up listening to Tiny Dancer, and Paul Allen, limos behind us trying to get in, and they're doing the security thing, and we're blasting Elton John, Tiny Dancer.
Were you praying for a loss?
No, you got to ride with whatever's winning, baby.
No, I understand that, but eventually, if it's driving you crazy, don't you root for a loss so that you change?
Heck no.
No?
Hey, losing gets you fired.
Well, that's true.
Doesn't matter. Losing, you're fired. Wins, as bad as it is, keeps you hired.
What happens when you hear the song today?
I laugh.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, there's three humongous. You had me, Hutchinson, Walter Jones, Chris Gray, and Matt Hill in a car. We're all over 300 pounds, right? Pulling up, listening to Elton John, Tiny Dancer. That had to be hilarious.
It's an image that I want to get out of the back of my mind.
I mean, and we did it, talking about rituals, 20 times in a row till we lost.
See, I would think that you wouldn't want to hear the song now. Like, when I was in the Navy, there's a certain song, you know, when you refuel in the middle of the ocean, you hear the same song every time. So every time I hear On the Road Again from Willie Nelson, I want to shoot Willie Nelson. So I would have thought that it would have been the same.
No, I just laugh because of the memories. I mean, all the stupid stuff. I mean, that's what it reminds me of all those things that we did. By the way, I'm just only giving you part.
Oh, I understand. Thank you.
Of the ritual.
I appreciate that.
I'm not going to go into the whole ritual. But once you start a ritual and it works, your teammates will not let you break from the ritual.
So you have to ride with it.
You got to ride with it.
Were you there with the famous Mike Allstott, Dave Moore hood, taking the car off the car hood off of somebody's car?
No, I was part of Jeff Christie and taking the wheels off of Dexter Jackson's
and
car.
Right, and move the four. All right.
Yeah, so we took all his wheels off because he was talking back to us. And instead of getting him, he would run in before we would break every day. So he wouldn't let us get him. And he would just talk and talk, which he's very good at.
He is.
So we decided, okay, as an O-line, we all threw money in the pot. It was quite a bit of money. And we had somebody take apart his car in the parking lot.
I do remember this.
And put it in pieces. And then when he walked out, and we had to get a licensed mechanic because we had to make sure it was put back together.
Put it back together, right. So was that before Mike took the hood off of somebody's car? Was that
yeah,
after?
That was that. No, Mike did it after.
So he learned that
Jeff,
from
yeah,
you guys.
Jeff Christie was the first one to come up with the idea.
Okay.
He's the originator of the idea.
So I'm not going to talk about Mike's hood anymore. I'll talk about the wheels.
Yeah.
Because I always thought the hood was cool, but if the wheels were first.
Wheels were first.
It's the same premise.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Jeff Christie came up with it.
So we will now credit him from now on.
I know yes.
We only have about 6 minutes left, so let me try to fly through some of these.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's what happens. Do you remember the hour back in the day?
Seemed so long back then. I guess my dementia makes it just smooth.
The toughest defensive lineman you ever went against?
Reggie White.
Your most memorable moment? Reggie White.
My most memorable
moment? Playing.
Wow, there's a lot of them. I guess in Tampa, the Monday Night Miracle would probably stick out after we lost to the Rams and we played on Monday night and Sean King flipped the ball to Dunn and I came back and blasted London Fletcher in the next week and we got the first down by a yard. It was third and 30-something and we got the first
31.
Down. Yeah, it was 31 or 32, right?
Right.
And we got the first down and won the game.
Most memorable in Seattle?
Most memorable in Seattle. The funnest one was Julius Peppers took Walter Jones' helmet off for him. So the next play, I took Julius Peppers' helmet off for him. We'll put it that way.
Well, I like that. What do you think? What's the first thing you think? Somebody came up with a Wisconsin helmet, a Buccaneer helmet, and a Seattle helmet. What's the first thing you think of when you see those three? You mentioned logos before.
I'm just glad somebody still wants my autograph. What do I think? I mean, honestly, good times all the way around. I mean, I got to say that Wisconsin was amazing. The Buccaneers, the years that I was here, was awesome and amazing. And the years that I was out in Seattle were also amazing. I mean, I was very fortunate to play for two good clubs. That won a lot of football games. Now, don't get me wrong. When I first got to Seattle, they were garbage.
Right.
But, you know, I knew we were on the right path.
I ask Mark Royals this all the time, who will be the guest here next Monday night, what it was like in 02. Because he was here in 01,
yeah.
Left, and then came back after that 02 season.
Yeah.
What was it like for you leaving and then the success that the Bucs had in 02?
Well, I mean, I knew that the writing was on the wall just because of the Kenyatta situation. As soon as Kenyatta came in and said, I can't play left tackle, they just gave up two first-round draft picks for him. They also just paid me. But the whole thing was they're not going to keep us both. So I already knew. So my deal was they already started giving me impossible goals to reach.
Right.
One was I had to play at 295 when I played my entire career at 340. I hit 295, got it. Because they were trying to get me out.
Right, right.
So then what's funny is I actually got a nutritionist, and they said the lowest I should have ever been in my life was 324. So, you know, there was some good memories of the Bucs up until that point.
No, I get you.
And it, even on the day they cut me, I had Rod Marinelli, Monty Kiffin, everybody but I had to go find Gruden.
You saw him Thursday.
Yeah, and all now he's my best friend. Don't know.
I
can't really blame him for that because, I mean, he was doing
right. It was the not for long. It's a business thing. I was just saying, and not to bring up an old wound, just watching, you know, and they were all friends of yours. You know, it's the guys that you played with the year before.
Oh, I watched. I cheered. I mean, I remember we were sitting there playing pool when I watched him win the NFC champion with Joe. When Joe caught his pass. I mean, when the Bucs didn't re-sign Joe after what he did, after Gruden promised him a full job for now until forever and he didn't offer him a minimum contract, I grabbed Joe Giravicius and we went out to Seattle. I told Joe, we're going to a Super Bowl. Don't know if we'll win it, but we'll be in one. And we did.
Right.
So, I mean, I went and got Joe. I went and got Chartrick Darby. I went and got John Howell. All the guys that the Bucs disrespected, I took up to Seattle, and we went to a Super Bowl.
Do you still stay in touch? I know you stay in touch with Chuck.
Oh, all the time. All the guys.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we all stay in touch. You know, I root for all my buddies. I just want success for them. I mean, sometimes, even with Sapp, as much as he drives me nuts sometimes, I love the man. I want success for him. I don't want him to have to go through what I've seen him go through. Chris Forrester today. I mean, I don't want him to see him go through that kind of stuff. I mean, we have a relationship. We're friends. There's something deeper and bigger to our relationship. So, you know, we're like brothers. We'll fight, but somebody picks on you, I got your back.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
So that's kind of how we roll.
What would you tell your former self of 20 years ago if you could have had a conversation 20 years ago with you today? What would you have told yourself?
Well, concussions are for real.
Yeah.
And don't take all the pain meds they give you. and trust your body. You know, I love the NFL. I loved playing it. And, you know, what I know now is what I'm trying to help these young men with. But football is a great sport. And football will continue as long as we continue to take care of the guys who make football what it is today, to have the high-quality product on the field. Go ahead.
Believe it or not, we're out of time.
Wow, that was fast.
We're going to have to bring you back out for coming on a couple of gifts. There's a gift certificate from Epic Body Works for a
Thank
massage.
You.
A couple of gift certificates from Mr. Car Wash to get your car washed.
I need that for sure.
And then off the air, we're going to give away the prizes now. We are out of time. Let's thank Jerry Wunsch for coming out. I want to thank everybody for coming.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
We'll be back out here next Monday, as always.